Book of Romans, chapter number 6. I want to say it's a blessing to be here. It's been a whirlwind week. I do appreciate the church. I'll reiterate this on Sunday morning. Appreciate the church helping with my expense for the honor flight. And it was a real blessing. And we're glad that Brother Hall was able to go. And again, it was a very long day, but so many honors for the veterans. Teared up several times through the days, but amen. On the welcome home, it was overwhelming for both amen. Of us, really was. And but I appreciate that. I appreciate your prayers. Appreciate the ability to come back again and to be a part of the marathon. And amen. So, all right, Romans chapter 6, I'd like to read the whole 23, but I'm not going to. We're going to pick up our reading at verse number 11. Let's back up because of the word likewise. Let's go here, verse 9. Knowing that Christ, let's back up to 8. That's the beginning of the sentence. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin, because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. But what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Yep. Now this is the second time death is mentioned, and he's not talking to sinners here. Just right. Letting you know. He's talking to the church right. at Rome. So the second time about sin unto death is mentioned here. We're going to see it one more time here. So for the end of those things is death, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have fruit unto your fruit, unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for the day. I pray that you'll guide and direct in the message, that you'll just guide and help, Lord. Lord, those here before me in the auditorium, those by way of radio, do an everlasting work in our hearts, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. All right. So I preach this, so if I got some Oklahoma listeners listening in my church, but it'll be different. You've heard this before, at least. But I've been preaching along the lines the Lord had me several weeks preach in trials and tribulations. We'll get to there in a minute. But I know that Brother Josh Shepherd, there's so many Joshes I know, Brother Josh Shepherd has taken one of our sermons from Sermon Audio recently. And one of those that we mentioned, and he's been playing it on my broadcast, and it's entitled The Attitude of Afflictions, I believe it is, something like that. I have it here in the back, but we're not going to go there. But yeah, let me see here. I got it right here. Attitudes about affliction. And so afflictions and trials and a lot of those things, you know, just because you're saved don't mean you're going to not suffer trials. Amen. Right. Miss Angie testified of that. But she testified also of the grace of God that helped her through whatever she was going through on yesterday. And a lot of folks can understand where, you know, they can understand that because they've experienced that in their lives as well. I want to bring our text scripture is verses 11, I'm sorry, 12 and 13 this evening. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. As I was reading this text and some study, and I can't remember exactly why I was in here, but as I was reading this, the word instruments popped off the page. And I got to dwelling on that. And then I'd like to preach a message along the lines of we being instruments, as in these type of instruments, and make application along those lines. And I'd like to entitle the message, for sake of a title, Who's Playing You? I also thought about this after I preached it the first time. You're being played. And you could say, you could actually put the two together. You're being played. Who's playing you? Well, we'll just say who's playing you. You're either being played by sin. Unto unrighteousness, the Bible tells us right here. Or you're being played by God. Unto righteousness. But the... Yeah, but the deal, and so some of the thoughts that's already been shared around here, from conversation with Brother Houghton, kind of along these lines, in the fact that we are instruments in God's hands, and we get out of tune every now and then. I was going to use the four string over there, and then I said, well, I might need more strings, because actually I found some other places, some other areas that we come out of tune. But it's being yielded unto Him. That's the thing. So yielded to sin, servants of sin, the Bible tells us there in verse number 16, or yielded unto God.
Right.
We're not robots. He's not just going to, but we can limit the Bible in Psalm 78 talks about limiting God. And again, it's so much easier. It's a lot easier to be a child of God, to be that clay in His hands, if we would let the water of the Word of God make us pliable unto Him. I know that application has been made in the past, and how He's the potter and we're the clay. We sing about that. His song's about that on the radio. But the same thing is here. The same basic thought is here. We're instruments in His hand.
Right. Amen.
And as instruments, we can. I mean, I know the context of Scripture, positionally, we are free from sin.
Right.
In Christ, we're free from sin. Right. Under the blood, we are free from sin.
Amen.
Positionally. Paul to the Roman church here, who he's writing to, in the next chapter does deal with the flesh.
Right.
And how that there's a wrestling with the flesh and a wrestling with the spirit. And there are times that the flesh, let me figure out which one of these, there are times here that we get a little out of tune. We yield ourselves to sin unto unrighteousness.
Right.
And as instruments, we get out of tune.
Yep.
And when we get out of tune, we don't sound good. We don't walk good. We don't talk good. We don't serve good. There's a lot of things that happens when we're out of tune with God.
Yep.
Who's playing you? I wish I had... I wasn't thinking about the double strings there, but that's okay. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You are yielding yourselves to one of the two. You're saying, here, sin, play me.
Yep.
And you're going to be all messed up if sin plays you. The Bible tells you, again, three times here, and as I pointed out already, when we often use 6:23 to the sinner.
Yep.
I mean, to the sinner as in the lost sinner.
Right.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. And that's right, and that's a good application. But in the context of Scripture, like we pointed out, three times here, he's talking about sin and the death. And in the context of Scripture, he's talking to the saint.
Yes, sir.
You can keep saying, all right, sin, play me.
Yep.
I'm just going to keep yielding to the flesh and yielding to the sin. And then eventually God's going to say, all right, you're useless to me.
That's right.
I'm going to put you on the shelf.
Yep.
And I'm going to call you on home.
Yep.
There is a sin unto death.
Yes, sir.
There is a sin unto death. And again, three times here, he deals with death. So verse number, let's just read 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are under the law, for ye are not under the law, but under grace.
Yes.
That is positionally. We're under the blood, and we understand that, but we're still in the flesh. And he deals with that in our reading here, verse number 15. He asks the question, what then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Now there are those that accuse us Baptists that believes in eternal security. Everlasting life, the Bible tells us in John chapter 3. Eternal life in John chapter 3 that accuses us, oh, you can just get saved and then go on sinning because you're under grace. That it says, God forbid. That's not what it's talking about. That's not what we should be doing.
Right.
And positionally, we are sinless.
Amen.
Because when he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
And I thank God for that. But in the flesh, like he said, Paul talks about that wrestling that happens in chapter number 7. And that warfare, the flesh and the spirit that happens there. And if we yield ourselves to sin, the Bible says there's death. Or the wages of sin is death. Verse number 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So as we yield ourselves, we're yielding ourselves to self. We could serve ourselves. And this is that sin. We could yield ourselves and just, you know, it's my way or the highway. It's just, I'm going to pamper me and one thing or another. We yield ourselves to Satan. We can yield ourselves to sin. I got self, Satan, and sin. But you're yielding yourself. You're saying here.
Right.
I am putting myself in your hands. You take control of me and play a tune. You take control of me and tune me up or untune me or play me as you will.
Right.
You're being played. But who's playing you?
Amen.
Is it sin under unrighteousness? Or is it God to righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Positionally. But then it says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. There's where we can sin, in the flesh. Positionally, he sees us in under the blood. But we're still in the flesh, as he deals with in chapter 7, but he also deals with it there in verse number 19. We are in the flesh, in this rotten, stinking flesh, as our self, that we can yield ourselves to.
Sure.
And serve self.
Yep.
And the Bible, throughout the Scriptures, speaks against that.
That's right, amen.
I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded, there's that word yield again, yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now, here's the admonishment, here's the encouragement, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. The Bible tells us, be ye holy, for I am holy. I've heard some preaching along the lines of, you know, just comments behind the radio microphone, and I appreciate them, of standards. You used to hear a lot more of standards preached. Servant, that's righteousness. It's doing right. And I'm going to deal with a little bit on Sunday morning. The Lord is dealing with me coming up the road about a message there. Not exactly the standards, but you'll see it Sunday morning. But anyway. But righteousness, doing right, revival has been preached behind this pulpit by so different many preachers. Brother Hall, Brother Ronnie Simpson, many others. Just they had a passion for revival. They preached a whole lot about revival. And again, revival, and so for the last several years, several revivals, right prior to our revival, not really much this year, but prior to our revival, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies, your instruments, your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. There's yielding yourselves to sin. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and that acceptable and perfect will of God. But when I talk about, and I've said it from this pulpit probably several times, but yielding yourselves unto God as a living sacrifice. So again, and he uses the word holy there, you know, a sacrifice. And if we compare that sacrifice, even though it's a living sacrifice, if we compare that to the sacrifices of the Old Testament, what Abraham was going to have to do to Isaac, he understood what that meant. He was not only going to just kill Isaac, but Isaac would have to be flayed. He would have to be skinned. He would be cut into pieces.
Yep.
The pieces would be laid in order on the altar. Because God is a God of order.
Right.
And God had a God of order throughout later on after Abraham, when the law was given and the sacrifices was given there. And there was certain order to the sacrifices.
Right.
There was certain things that had to be done. And Abraham was planning on doing that to his only son. Realizing that if he went through all that God was still able to raise him up. But he didn't have to. But to bring it to that, to lay yourselves open unto God. I mean, flayed, cut open, open. He sees everything within you. You're yielding yourself unto him. You're a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. You're allowing him to be the potter and the clay, to be the one that you are yielding yourself as an instrument to, that he can play.
Amen.
And that he, as instruments, he is going to be work with in righteousness in your lives.
Yep.
Not unto unrighteousness. Some areas we get out of tune. Romans chapter 5 is where I preach it. I found some. Because when I preached this at my church, that sounds kind of funny from this pulpit. But anyway, when I preached this at my church, the way I wound up, then I was looking for a scripture right there, wound up in a different scripture, so I needed more strings. But if in Romans chapter 5 here, the first few verses, I think you're in the right chapter here, Romans chapter 5, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And I dealt with these as these strings that we get out of tune with.
Uh-huh.
Our faith. I need four strings. Where's Elizabeth? I was going to use the ukulele originally. And they're like, you're going to untune it? So anyway, Them double strings makes it hard to pick like I need to pick. Our faith. Nice and in tune. We believe God. But we get out of tune because we yield ourselves. There we go. Let's go down. We get out of tune because we yield ourselves instruments unto sin.
That's right.
And when we yield ourselves instruments unto sin, our faith gets out of tune.
Yep, that's right.
I have testified of people in this church. I have used people in this church, let's put it that way, in my preaching, not by name, just, you know, couples or individuals, there's a sister, there's a brother, that kind of thing.
Thank you.
But if you listen, you probably put it together. Oh, I know who he's talking about. But I mean, this is what I knew. This is what I know. This is where I was being, you know, for so many years. But all positive. I mean, yeah, most of you positive. But to see, and I could just say it, but I'm not going to, but to see young couples start in their faith and their walk of faith,
yeah,
stepping out on faith,
yeah,
that said, you know, God told me and I'm going to do it.
That's right.
I'm scared to death,
yep,
but I'm going to do it anyway.
Yep.
And then you see God bless and you stand and testify of, we did this by faith,
amen,
but God,
amen,
who is rich in mercy. And you
tend
to testify, you stepped out on faith and of what God has done and provide, and you know, the fear of the finances not being there, and you stand and testify, God done went and done it again. And it just to watch the faith in the young people grow.
Amen.
It's a blessing. And I've used that and I've seen that now. I have a son and a daughter in the faith. At Sooner Rose,
yep,
been saved since I've been there.
Amen.
A couple,
amen,
what a blessing!
Yep.
And I preach about the people here, and then they take it and they take it and apply it to themselves, and you watch their faith grow.
Amen.
But then, you know, we can let the flesh get a hold of us and
yep,
sin get a hold of us, and we're out of tune,
yep,
in our faith. And then here in our text in chapter 5 here, so we go on faith and hope, pretty much the same thing because we're going to see hope again. But we see faith in verse number 1, we see faith in verse number 2. And then we get on down in verse number 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation works the patience. Our faith and then our patience. Oh, our patience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our patience gets out of tune.
Yep.
Tribulation worketh patience. That keeps us in tune.
Yep.
And think about this. And this is where how I preach the tribulation part. And I probably labored on this pretty good. You think about being instruments unto Him. Oh, I know what I did. Is I looked up the stress of the pressure, the stress that's on the strings of a 6-string guitar. I mean, it's like, you know, I forget it. It's extreme on each string. As we tighten it, no, you know, and they're like, please don't break my strings. You know, we tuning it up and it needs a little bit more, and we're like, please don't go. But that stress and that pressure that's on these strings, and you look it up, and it's so. So each string has so many pounds of pressure on the string, and there's 6 strings on the guitar, and we're talking like 200 pounds, I think, of pressure on the neck,
yep,
of a guitar.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what works that patience? Tribulation.
Yep.
Stress.
Yep.
Tribulation. That's not pleasant on that string. In fact, Logan talked about putting new strings on that guitar, on that banjo. So you put on new strings on the guitar or banjo, and what happens is they stretch a little bit, right? Well, because of that stress, that tribulation that's on those strings. And you have to, for a little while, you have to work. You have to tune it up again, But that's how God tunes us.
Amen.
That's how he works on our faith, really, too.
Amen.
He says, I'll just use it. He says, Christian, I know you two have got two jobs and two incomes coming in, but I want you to quit work.
Yep.
What?
Yep.
I've always worked.
Yep.
Ever since. And you're saying that you want me to quit my job and to step out on faith, God? Stress.
Yeah.
Tribulation.
Yep.
What did that work? Faith.
Amen.
And then testify of, I don't understand.
Yep. Amen.
But God done it again.
That's
right. So our faith gets worked on from stress, tribulation. Our patience gets worked on from tribulation. And I'll just tell it publicly, since I said it publicly before. I said, I want all seven of mine to have seven. I want all 49 grandchildren to come over. I have backed up on that statement.
Yeah,
I'm just letting you know. Woo. We had Rebecca's too at my house for four nights. Woo. When it comes to, you know, taking them to the bathroom and giving them showers and so on and so forth, I said, I think I've got that T-shirt somewhere back here in this trunk. I had to pull it back out because it's been a long time. And, of course, I'm not like as gentle as Mom. Ah, what's wrong with you? Got soap in my eyes. You're all right. Shake it off. Just splash some water in their face. That was the guy. You know, it'll be all right. It's been a long time. So, yeah, no 49 in my house at one time. But, yeah, that's exactly right. Lord, keep me in tune with my patience so I don't need that tribulation to tune me up. Tribulation, so tribulation worketh patience, and then patience, and patience experience. It goes back to that faith experience, too. So when you step out on faith, God said to do this, and you did, and you get in tune with your faith. And then the next time he says, do something by faith, you say, okay.
Yep.
And you're still in tune with your faith. Why? Amen. Because it worked there.
Right.
But every now and then, we get out of tune.
Yep.
With our faith. We get out of tune with our patience. We get out of tune with our experience. And one of the things that experience, again, like the experience does is it helps the next time. But I want to encourage young couples, young people, like I've encouraged, that's what I use at my church, encourage my young couples to step out, to get that experience. I've used the four-way tire tool so many times in my preaching. When I come and, I mean, God, you know, we had that blowout coming back from Sammy Allen's camp. We went down with the radio and I had that 15-passenger van. Had to blow out on I-24. And, of course, Lisa's like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I said, just wait a minute. And I said, Lord. And the dark clouds coming in from the west. And it's getting ready to be a torrential downpour. I said, Lord, please help me. And I looked at her, I said, give me a pen and a piece of paper. She said, what? I said, give me something to write on and something to write with. We figured that out. So I got out, I-24. And I told Joshua, I said, get out here, Josh. I didn't have I had a jack and I had a spare, and I didn't have a tire tool. And it was 10 lugs on that thing. And so 8 to 10 lugs. It was not 6. So I told Joshua, I said, stand back here and hold this sign this way, oncoming traffic. So he's out here like this and said, I put need four way. Well, I was getting the tire out by faith. And so by the time that I had undone the spare tire, got it on the ground and got the jack out, there was a little pickup truck that pulled just right into in front of me and started backing up a little bit. The man gets out, just reaches over, just reaches into the back of the pickup truck, the bed, picks up a four-way tire tool and comes and starts taking my lug nuts off. While he's down there, he goes, "You ain't going to believe this." I said, "What's that?" He goes, "I was just at an auction this morning and I bought this tire tool at that auction." And he had that man pass by my way just at the right time. And I said, "That's God's tire tool. You wouldn't want to get rid of it, would you?" He said, "Nope." And I said, "So we got the, he let me finish the changing of the tire, but we got it changed. Got down to the Rhines at Clarksville at the time, and then it started raining. And I was thankful, and I come and testify to that. And the next service, Brother Shelby brought me a four-way tire tool. He said, "Now you've got a tire tool."
Amen.
And I still got that tire tool too. That's God's tire tool.
Amen.
But I can tell that story when my faith gets a little weak. You know, I can look back to something like that. And story after story after story that I can go back to. And yes, I wobble on the act. I get untuned every now and then in my faith. I definitely get untuned in my patience. But I can go to that experience and it helps tune everything back up.
Amen.
And my experience keeps things in tune.
Yeah.
And then experience hope.
Yeah.
Future.
Right.
You know, the future thing. But we can get out of tune. But then, you know, and one of the things, I'll just go ahead and do it this way. One of the things that I mentioned in that, I'm not going to go there. I was just, yeah, I will. Well, maybe, anyway. So when we go over here to these instruments, and I thank the Lord for all the ones that play these things, and I've got two guitars and a bass sitting over in the corner of my church that's just sitting there. One of these days.
Yep. Amen.
I'm gonna get Landon to come and play the bass for me, I think, at my church.
Amen.
Anyway, because I seen him in a little video. He's up there playing the bass. Anyway, but there's several ways to tune these. This one, wherever. Somebody may have a tuner, an electronic tuner that they can put on here and they can tune this instrument with. Then some people will tune the instrument to the instrument by the instrument. They'll say, "Okay, that sounds about it," but then they'll go and they'll tune the guitar to itself. Some will take the electronic and tune it. And then, but if I've got an electronic tuner, and then say one of the other musicians tuned it to itself and they start playing together, they may be out of tune together.
Right.
And then they start playing, or at least Elizabeth starts playing the piano, and their instruments here are out of tune to the piano.
Right.
It doesn't make a beautiful sound that way.
Right.
So how do we fix that? I mean, let me make application there and I'll tell you how to fix it. You got the Willises over here, and they're tuned one way. And you got the Barnetts over here, and they're tuned another way. And you got the Bells over here, and they tuned another way. And then they all start, and they all come to church, and then try to play, make a song together, and it's just not right. So how do we fix that? We got to get in tune together as a church. The way you do that is when each of you are tuned your own way, is you find a single instrument to tune to.
There you go.
Which is the piano.
Yep.
So if Elizabeth's playing the piano, instead of tuning it to the electronic tuner and tune it to the instrument itself, she'll come over here and say, "Give me a C," and she'll go, or here's middle C, and they go, ding, 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 hit it again. And they'll tune to the piano. They got all the instruments tuned to the same instrument. Now we're all in unity.
Yeah,
what's that? The U word?
Yeah.
Unity.
Yeah,
he has a desire that we as brethren walk in unity.
Yeah,
to be unified, to be able to go on. See, not only we as individuals can get out of tune. We as families can get out of tune, but
yep,
we as churches can get out of tune.
Yep. Yep.
But we all got to come together. We got this little faction over here that's thinking one way, I got this little faction over here that's thinking another way, and this little faction in the middle, well, they're way out, you know, they're thinking another way, and you try to come to church and worship, and there's just something that don't sound harmonious anymore. We need revival when that happens. Well, what is revival is getting it in tune to the central instrument. Getting back in tune to the Word of God. Getting back in tune to the doctrines of God. Getting back in tune one with another. Centrally, and we can come, and then when we get to singing or we get to worship, and we can worship in unity. We can serve in unity. I know I was a part of you. I've seen it, especially back there in the kitchen. In Marathon. Oh, not just Marathon. I've seen it in the kitchen and other places, not in, say, the big meeting. You got this one out of tune and this one out, and I've been out of tune for, I'll tend to testify. And you get come to service and it just, the choir, the singing, just it's not what it needs to be. Why? Because somebody burnt the whatever. Somebody didn't put something back here just like I wanted it. And just, well, I think, I was joking around with her, walked around the corner. She, Sister Amber, standing there like this. I was just playing around. But I went, psh. You see that? Psh. All of you husbands have seen that. I think. But anyway, we get out of tune, one with another, as a congregation. And God wants unity. I was looking for a different unity scripture, but Ephesians chapter 4, verse number, well, let's read the sentence. Verse number 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. With all lowliness, there's another string. Yeah. Our lowliness gets out of tune. Meekness gets out of tune. Long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Love gets out of tune. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring to keep the unity. So what we do is when we endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, we come over here before service, and we get over here and we go, all right, give me that middle C, give me that G, give me that E, D. And we get tuned up.
Amen.
You can get tuned, untuned between the spouses.
Yep.
That's rough when you're a preacher.
Yep.
Getting ready to preach. It was several meetings ago, we had an anniversary meeting. And I mean, it was a Sunday morning. We had one saved that morning, but it was one of those times that I mean, we were in the parking lot getting right with each other.
Amen.
I said, we can't go in like this. Because
right.
We were wrong. We were out of tune.
Right.
We fixed it. And I don't. I think if we tried to go in with a facade on our faces, that we would not have had the service that we had that day. Me and Lisa got right in the parking lot with each other and got right with God.
Amen.
And we went in and the choir was singing with an extra unity. I mean, it was an extra, it was just, and our choir is our whole church. And the only reason we sang the choir is because we had people to sing out there to listen. Otherwise, anyway, we sing in the choir and we sing about salvation. It was one of the few, and it was a high service for us, and we don't have many. We had one, maybe. And that was that service. Anyway, and brother Doug Pitts got to preaching. And I mean, God just fell on that. Conviction fell on this one, the one that I mentioned a minute ago. And just, he was just red. He was as red as this. His face. He was in trouble.
Yeah.
Brother Brunson, Sister Brunson was over on this side. And they're looking over him. They noticed he was under conviction. And then they looked over again and they noticed he was gone. They said, where'd he go? And he had slipped around and got on the altar.
Amen.
He got saved that morning. What a blessing.
Yeah.
But that wouldn't have happened if we hadn't been right.
Right.
But in love there. But it goes on to say, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father. I'll just jump down to the gifts. And he gave some, verse number 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints. What? And that preacher gets up and preaches on my sin. Oh yeah, he's working on me. He uses preachers and teachers and all these things, these gifts here to keep us in tune. What? It just says it there. Pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man and to a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind and of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Whew, that's a long sentence. I read to the end of the sentence. Most of the time. To keep the context of the script, but there it is in verse number 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. You know, we have every string, especially that 8-string mandolin back here. We have, you know, 7 strings in tune, and that one's just not, it's not ringing just right. We're not fitly joined together. We're not in tune, but we can be. Why? How can we? It's how you, who you yield yourself to. One, you got to realize you're out of tune.
Yep.
And you need help. If you keep being out of tune, death is coming. Bottom line, we've seen it 3 times and he's talking to the church.
Right.
Yeah, and Brother Hall, through the years, has testified of folks that got crossways and didn't get right, got crossways and got right. I was in this ministry. I've seen it, knew the people. And then crossroads with the preacher, crossroads with God, crossroads with the church member. Out of tune.
Yep.
In those areas, all those areas there, we can go with long suffering, everything that we read there in Ephesians, but going back to the Romans, you know, just those things that we can get out of tune there. Sometimes it just takes this time of examination. Again, this is prior. I preached this right prior to us going to a week of revival with Brother Ellis Heffington about getting in tune.
Amen. Good.
Examining yourselves.
Yeah.
That's what revival is about for the church. It's not, you know, it's not evangelistic, although it can be evangelistic.
Sure.
And I told my people, I said, look, well, going into this revival, it can be one of 2 things. The preaching will either be to the saints because we need revived, or if you're already right, then it'll be more toward the center.
Yep.
You can bring your family in. They'll be evangelized, and it'll happen that way. But if you're not right, it's going to be to you.
That's right.
And there was some, he preached to us first 2 nights, I think, and then 3 nights. Yeah, first 3 nights, because Wednesday night was just the church. Then the last 2 nights, it was Thursday night was kind of both to the church and to the lost, and Friday night was to the lost. And it was really good. Lord blessed. Lord still working in some places.
Amen.
And I thank God for that. But I wanted to get the thoughts of the people to turn inward. One of my sayings that I've picked up since I've been out there is getting a mirror and a magnifying glass.
Yeah.
So many times, they're, you know, the preacher will preach and you say, I know who that male's for.
Mm-hmm.
And when really you should probably open it yourself, but you want to pass it back. I think that, oh, that's for Brother So-and-so. Yeah, he really needed that one.
Yeah.
Oh, Sister So-and-so. Yeah, yeah. You know that the preacher was right down in her road this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get so guilty of looking at everybody else's and listening to their mistunes that don't realize that we're out of tune.
Right.
So take that mirror, look at yourself, and that magnifying glass to examine yourself. And somebody actually got me a magnifying glass. My pulpit lifts up here. I got a magnifying glass in there. Also got a flashlight because we got tornadoes. So in case all the power goes off, I got a flashlight in there. But I also often use it as my spotlight on reproving and rebuking. Reproof. And I turn that spotlight on them. But, you know, I was thinking I hadn't had dental insurance in forever. So finally, I got to a place where I did, and I needed some dental work. Of course, I'm missing several more teeth because of that. But I'm sitting there, you know, waiting for the numbness to take effect. They've got that swing arm exam light up there at the top, and it's bright. Woo! But it's focused. I'm sitting there considering that light, and I got to preaching to the dentist a little bit. I said, it's my second trip there. I said, I use that light in my preaching. He said, what? I said, reprove and rebuke. I said, that is a real bright light that shines on the problem. It's in my mouth.
Yep.
And I said, and when you took those pliers to me, you rebuked me. Yeah, and pulled that tooth. That was some rough stuff. And that's the way preaching is. And we have a tendency to just pass it on, but we need to don't look at your neighbor. It's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, that's standing in the need of prayer. Turn that mirror and that magnifying glass on yourself. Do that self-examination. Am I right, Lord? You can't yield your brother. You can't yield your sister, but you can yield yourself. Which is it going to be? You're going to yield yourself to sin? I know what the preacher says, but. I know what the Bible says, but. I know what the standard is, but. I'm either going to cross the line or I'm going to push the line on my standard. How are you going to yield yourself? Sin unto unrighteousness? Or are you going to say, here I am, Lord. Tune me up. I want to be as right with you, God, as I can be. I want to be in tuned with you, Lord. And then as if everybody would have that mindset individually, then as a family, then you can come in together centrally tuned.
Amen.
To the scriptures and to God, and you'll be unified. And what a joyful noise that'll make.
Amen. Good.
A worshipful noise.
Yes.
Amen. And that's my message tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, dear God, for your love and your mercy. Lord, we get out of tune. I pray and ask that we don't look at our brother or sister. We look inwardly. Do a self-examination. Number one, to be sure that we're in the faith. Examine yourselves to be sure that you're in the faith. Lord, and if we are saved, help us to examine ourselves inwardly. That we're not yielded to the flesh. We're not yielded to sin. But we're yielded to you. And pray that you would work. And Lord, where we're out of tune, what we need worked on, we pray that we realize that sometimes it's not pleasant when tribulations comes to work. The tightening of the strings in those areas of our life are not necessarily pleasant. But Lord, we pray that we'll be yielded to whatever you need to do and however you need to do it in our lives, that we may be holy and acceptable unto you as a living sacrifice. Pray and ask that you'll take the message and use it. That's an invitation time. We ask and pray these things in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Station, I guess. So, folks will come. And you just mind God.